Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer, in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See ya, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
On today's Part of My Take, football week 7 recap, fastest 2 minutes. We're going to talk a little college football. Tua got hurt. That's a big news. We're going to do a little who's back of the week, little football guy of the week. It was a terrible weekend of football, but we're going to recap it all.
Two is really the big story
in
college football.
I'm going to put on my smiley face. I'm like the Joker. Just cut my fucking face open. Let it bleed out.
You want to know how I got these scars?
What's the fucking point of watching sports anymore? All right.
That's why Lovie Smith grows that big beard, so you can't see his Joker scar.
That's exactly why.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $5 for free, $5 to ASPCA. Today is Monday, October 21st, week 7.
What?
In Atlanta, where the Falcons are so dead they've checked into Arthur Blank's ghost hotel, Jared David Hasselhoff put down the drunken burgers and went back to throwing darts with his lieutenant, Mitch Buchanan. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do not visit your pregnant girlfriend. Go directly to jail. And Ramsey had a monopoly on the Falcons' passing attack. Hey, Teach.
Yeah, boom.
Dan Quinn, more like Dan Finn. Because this movie is over. Rams 37, Falcons 10.
What?
What? In Cincinnati, where D.D. Kanye Westbrook put on a Sunday service, even though Andy Dalton stuck around for graduation at TCU, it was the college dropout, Leonard Fournette, who had a great game. Josh Lambeau, Geney Mercy, went 4-for-4 with his kicks. And you know what the Midwest is, Dalton's reckless. The Bengals rock a done chain, that's a heavy necklace. And it's 808 and heartbreaks in Cincinnati yet again. Jaguars 27, the Bengals 17.
Some spread. In Detroit, home of the Queen and my good friend, rest in peace, Aretha Franklin, where Adam sang to Kirk, you make me feel, you make me feel, you make me feel like my hamstrings are hurting. Kirk Cousins was getting no R-E-S-P-E-C-T as he socked it to the, socked it to the, socked it to the haters yet again with a big road divisional win. Dalvin Sam Cook kept the chain gang moving, and the Lions season might be signed, sealed, delivered halfway through October as they're all out of mo. Town. Vikings 42, Lions 30.
Whip, whip, whoop.
Brown University, Brown University, Brown University.
It is clear that the entire fishing fleet for sharks in Peru is involved in a systematic killing of dolphins. The numbers are ranging from 7,000 to 15,000 dolphins per year, being very conservative.
No one murders the dolphins like the Buffalo Bills.
In Indianapolis, where Eric Ebron James, not trying to get into a sentence battle, treated the Houston secondary like a bunch of Daryl Moreys. Frank, I want to ride my bicycle, I want to ride my Reich, has the wheels in motion for an AFC South crowd after a big day from his Colts. The Texans had no answer for Indy's rushing game. As Bill O'Brien said, I like big butt chins, but I cannot lie. Baby got Marlon Mack. Indy 30, Houston 23.
In the Meadowlands, where Kyler Bill Murray was popping up everywhere and Chase Jim Edmonds continues his illustrious career with the Cardinals, running through defensive walls with 136 yards and three scores, making his Real Housewife of OC very happy. Golden, Kobe tell me how my ass, Tate, has been a security blanket for Danny Dimes, but the Giants weren't able to rebound even with the round mound of quads, Saquon Charles Barkley back in the lineup, as the Cardinals' defense was able to slice and dice their way into more sacks than Antonio Cromartie's urologist. Cardinals 27, the G-Men 21,
the New York Football Giants. In the frozen tundra where the Raiders met the Packers, Darren Revell Waller put up huge stats, but ultimately walked away the loser that he is, and Aaron Revell Rogers said, this is not your content. The Raiders' secondary was leaky as Marquez Exxon Valdez Scantling was slicker than an oil spill, dumping 133 yards on them, leaving Derek Carr out of gas for a comeback. Josh, my darling Jacobs, met the Packers' defense look pretty jilly indeed. The story of the day was the Packers' defense blanking bad as Martinez cooked up a large amount of speed and really messed things up for the Raiders. Packers, 42. The Raiders, 24.
In Raul John.
This game sucks.
Why is it bong?
49ers 9, Redskins 0.
We finish in Nashville where the Chargers had the M&M's cooking as Mike Williams and Melvin Your Mouth, Not In Your Hand Gordon missed the end zone by the length of a thin candy shell.
Your brain has a thin candy shell.
Hey, Trey Wingo, get out of the studio. We're working here. Ryan Tannehillery Swank played like a million-dollar baby on his last healthy leg for the Titans. Speaking of healthy legs, Derrick Rose Henry had another big game on the ground, and the Titans' season has been saved thanks to a goal line stand, so don't get too attached to that penis just yet, Coach Vrabel. Titans 23, the Chargers 20.
All right. Week 7, almost in the books.
Got one left.
Ooh.
Got one left for us.
I'm wearing a hat that says I am a messy bitch because I am a messy bitch after this weekend of football. But we're here to recap all of it. We are here. Actually, if you're watching, you can see it. The messy bitch hat on barstoolgold.com/pardonmytake/PMT. barstoolgold.com/PMT. Okay. Let's recap. Let's start with Sunday night.
Okay.
And then we'll go back to the 1 o'clocks. The Eagles might be done, Chain, PFT. One game out, but they stink.
The entire NFC East, I have no idea what to make of it besides the fact that the R-words are done. The rest of the division, it's just like anybody could beat anybody on any given time. Because I going into this game, I thought the Eagles were going to win straight
up.
Me
too. Me too. But their defense is atrocious. I don't think it's Carson Wentz's fault, but a guy who you let walk away won a Super Bowl for you, and so everyone's going to probably blame Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Cowboys, like, I can't – I wouldn't be shocked if the Cowboys lost all their games the rest of the season. It wouldn't shock me. If they won out, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
They make no sense. When they look good, they look like the best team in the NFL, and when they look bad – they look so, so bad.
Even when they look good, Jason Garrett looks like shit.
Yes.
Noticed. By the way, Sunday Night Football, I think we've reached our quota of close-up shots of Jason Garrett on the sideline.
Yeah.
With his red eyes looking like he's been smoking weed and crying at the bottom of a public pool. I was about done with that by the second quarter.
I'm sure we have like six more Cowboys Sunday
we probably
night
do.
Games.
Then they're all against the Giants schedule. Somehow.
Yeah, yeah, right. But yeah, it's I don't know how – there are certain losses you can walk away from and be like, okay –
maybe we have a chance. But now the Eagles have gone back-to-back games where the Vikings torched them. And the Cowboys, a little bit of help by the fact that they just gave over, you know, gave up the ball on back-to-back opening. Was it back-to-back opening drive?
Yeah.
It was, yeah, they fumbled and then a pick, right?
Well, right off the bat, it's like they spotted the Cowboys 14 points.
Right. So tough for your defense to do stuff when you have that. And basically the Cowboys, when the Cowboys are running from ahead, it's like that you cannot stop them. But if you're an Eagles fan, I don't know what they do. And I'd be mad at Howie Roseman for not trading for Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, they still are.
They still are.
During the Rams game today, I saw a bunch of Eagles fans' tweets being like, look what we could have had with Jalen Ramsey right now.
You could have.
And their secondary is hilarious when it comes to tackling, especially on those first two drives. If you can even call them drives, it was like three plays total.
Right.
And nine missed tackles during them. And Orlando Scandrick looking like he was a double agent, looking like he was sent over from the Cowboys for the express purpose of losing games against the Cowboys for the Eagles. He just got turned around. Everybody on the Eagles defense looked like they were trying to tackle Barry Sanders.
Right. And so
Warren Sharp, I realized this weekend watching the Titans game. Vrabel looks like Warren Sharp after like 20 cycles of steroids.
Yeah, and like a bunch of steaks.
Yeah.
All right. So first half points given up by the Eagles this year, they've given up 20 plus points in 5 of the games. That's bad. And one of them you got to throw out because it was Luke Falk.
Yeah,
that doesn't count. So they held them scoreless, which that shouldn't count. So they've given up 20, 10, 20, 20, 24, 27. I don't know what you do with that. You basically can't. So that's the part where I don't even know if you can blame Carson Wentz, because he's basically playing from behind constantly and always in a huge hole. So the offense has to do different things. I also want to just note Nelson Aguilar. He's going to get roasted in Philadelphia because that business decision he made at the end of the game, where he very easily, I feel like, could have caught the ball, and I don't know what he saw, but he just pulled back wide open, would have been a touchdown.
Every Eagles team has to have one Todd Pinkston on the team, and Aguilar is the Todd Pinkston.
One guy that everyone in Philly is just waking up in the morning, and they turn over, and they just start yelling at their dumpster about how bad that wide receiver is.
I can't wait to see what disaster is taking place overnight in Philly that will have somebody on the news yelling at Nelson Aguilar tomorrow morning.
Taking their one moment, their 15 seconds of fame, their one moment where they're a local hero, to use that platform to bash the shittiest wide receiver on the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Philadelphia tradition. Yes. I actually like it a lot that Philly cares so much about their team. I think adding a little bit of insult to injury for the Cowboys in the second half, when they kept trotting their doctor out onto the field wearing the cowboy hat.
Yes.
If you're injured and you see a man in a cowboy hat walking towards you, he's got two options for you. One is a shot of whiskey and a stick to bite down on, and the other is a gun, sidearm, like a horse. He's going to put you down.
But it plays.
It does play.
It's like remember Johnny Manziel's lawyer, one of the many?
You're going to need to specify.
A 10-gallon, cowboy hat or whatever you call it, and it was like, that's the guy you're bringing in to get you, to keep you out of jail.
Yeah, it's like if you're playing in Lambeau and the guy runs out on the field, he's got a cheese head on.
Right. That makes sense. And he's like 60 pounds overweight. You're like, okay, I trust this guy. You know what? It's like the old never trust a skinny chef.
Uh-huh.
Never trust a medical professional in Dallas without a cowboy hat on.
Yeah, I agree. Bite down on the stick.
That plays.
Bite harder, son.
Okay, speaking of teams that are dead, let's move on. We'll go back to the 1 o'clock games.
One last question about the Cowboys. Do you think that a small part of Jerry Jones is pissed off that he doesn't have to answer questions about firing his coach this week?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Jerry Jones likes being reminded that he can fire Jason Garrett at any given time.
Right. I think he'll throw in some subtle shot like, things went well tonight, but if they hadn't.
For the most part, they went well. Yeah.
Right. There were some things I'd like to see tightened up, and I don't know if we have the coaching staff to do it.
Right.
All right. So back to the 1 o'clock game. Speaking of teams that are dead, the Falcons are deader than dead. It is atrocious. I actually want to throw this out there to you, PFT.
Hit me.
Are the Falcons maybe the worst team in the NFL?
See, they still have that lingering sense of they were winning in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, so people aren't as inclined to see it. But they are really, really bad. Their defense is one of the worst I've ever seen.
And I know the answer is going to be obviously the Dolphins and the Bengals, both teams that are historically bad.
Yep.
And they haven't won. But the Dolphins have at least been competitive in their last two games. The Bengals have been competitive a couple times this year. The the Falcons have lost their last four games, 24-10 to the Titans. They got smoked by the Texans. They were competitive against the Cardinals, and then they got smoked again. Matt Schaub was the only one who had a touchdown drive for them.
99.8 QBR for Matt Schaub.
I fucking love that
Matt quarterback Schaub's controversy.
Still around. I love that he's still around. But this team is so, so bad that I don't know. And, of course, we have Arthur Blank saying, I still support Dan Quinn. He's actually going to break the records for amount of cliches saying that you are standing behind your coach that you're definitely going to fire once the bye week comes.
Oh, he's definitely literally standing right behind him at all times, even in practice, the hot air on the back of his neck every day.
Yes.
Yeah, the defense is so bad. Dan Quinn is trying to spread around responsibility now. He's like, I'm letting other people on my staff take a look at it and put their fingerprints on it. If I'm like a secondary coach on that defense, I'm like, fuck you, Dan Quinn. This is your mess.
Yes.
You're not doing the Tom Sawyer whitewashing the fence on me and making me paint shit all over this fence. This is yours. You own it.
And on top of that, Dan Quinn last year took over the play calling duty, which we always know is like the last ditch effort. You can always change who calls the plays, whether give it up or take it over to save your job.
Mike McCarthy.
He's all out of moves. Yeah. He's all out of moves. And I don't know how he has, like, the fact that Arthur Blank is waiting to the bye week is kind of funny and kind of admirable, but it's also, there was no one at that game today. They looked terrible. And I don't know. I mean, I'm happy that I quit on them. If you bet on the Falcons past week three this year, you are the biggest idiot in the world.
When did you last bet on them?
Week three.
That was it?
Even I know. Even I know. Whenever I done chained them, even I knew to stop betting on them, which should be a sign that you got to stop betting on them.
The Falcons defense is medicine for an anemic offense. It's just an injection of iron. Actually, better than that, it's like fat camp.
Right.
It's like you send your offense to fat camp to play against the Falcons, and when you get them back, they look a little bit better, they feel a little bit better, but then they're just going to go back to being who they are to begin with. The Falcons make everybody look good. I would love to play against the Falcons if I was an NFL quarterback, which I could have been if I was a little bit taller.
Absolutely. It's the biggest loser. It's actually they're such the biggest loser that I think Scott Mitchell, remember him from the Lions, who was on the biggest loser? I bet you he could throw two touchdown passes against the Falcons.
I think you probably could.
Right now.
I've got a name to throw out there. If you're the Falcons and you're looking at your next head coach, this is the Mike Leach destination.
Urban Meyer.
Mike Leach, because the defense already sucks. So you might as well just turn into that skid and say, okay, Mike, we're not gonna stop anybody anytime soon. Why don't you just take over this offense, which has some pieces to it, and just score 60 points and give up 62?
The problem with Mike Leach is he would never in a million years go to the NFL, because in the NFL, you can't take away the cell phones of your players. You can't call them out and say they're fat and call their girlfriends fat and do weird rants all the time. So that would be the worst fit of all time for him.
I think if he's going to go anywhere, I think that Atlanta.
Why is he going anywhere?
Everyone keeps bringing his name up all the time
the NFL.
Yeah, I've heard his name a couple times for NFL positions, just to say like, okay, fuck it, you know. Why not? Why not Mike Leach? Why not give him a shot? And if you're a coach, I'll ask you this. If you're an offensive coach, wouldn't the Falcons be, like, the best destination?
No. I don't know, because they're starting to get old. Like, Matt Ryan is not going to be there forever, and he got hurt today. He's in the walking boot. I don't know. This seems so dysfunctional that it seems like, I don't know. I'd have to let me give you a real football guy answer. I'd have to take a look at their roster.
And also, we don't talk about another man's job because Dan Quinn is still employed.
Julio Jones, how old is Julio Jones? I feel like Julio Jones is going to have one of those years in a year or two where it's like, oh, shit, that might be over.
Oh, we wasted his
career. Yeah.
He seems like a guy that's been 28 for a couple years.
Right.
Yeah. Did you see Devontae Freeman getting dog walked by Aaron Donald?
So I actually wrote this down, PFT. What? He tried to punch Aaron Donald, which had to be the dumbest thing anyone could ever do. I think Aaron Donald's probably top three guys that you wouldn't want to fight on a football field.
Yeah.
I was thinking of who else is on that list. Lane Johnson, maybe?
Ray Lewis.
Well, I was saying current.
Players, okay.
Richie Incognito.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't want to fight him.
Vontaze Burfict.
He's not on a football field.
Probably
never will be again.
Ndamukong Suh.
Yep,
that's
a good one.
He'd actually just snap your head off.
Yeah, and then stomp on your balls while you're, like, dead.
It would be a dirty way of snapping your head off.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, what? Why am I getting a penalty for this?
I actually think you should be allowed to punch Aaron Donald.
Why?
Because just he's so big, and how else are you going to stop Aaron Donald besides punching him?
It was a ridiculous visual.
He trains with knives.
To see Devontae Freeman, like, jump up to try to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Like, that just speaks. Devontae Freeman getting kicked out of this game, Matt Ryan getting hurt, Dan Quinn looking like all life has been sucked out of him. Mm-hmm. Matt Schaub being the best quarterback for the Falcons. Blake Bortles getting into it. All these things, the Falcons are dead.
Yeah.
So dead.
Did we learn anything about the Rams today?
No. And we won't next year.
I don't think so.
I mean, next week, because they're going to play the Bengals.
Okay.
So they're on a get-right schedule.
Got it.
Yeah. By the way, did Blake throw a pass?
No.
Oh,
he didn't.
Fuck.
Didn't throw an interception, though.
That's our guy. Dolphins at Bills. They booed Josh Allen in the first half.
That hurt.
No,
they didn't boo Josh Allen. They booed they booed the scoreboard.
They booed Josh Allen in the first half. PFT. Shame.
Is that why
be better Bills fans?
Is that why he threw the ball into the stands and probably killed somebody in the second half?
Was way over the stands.
He threw it
out of the stadium and it lands on a table and smashes it.
That probably hit a satellite somewhere.
He also had one throw where it was like maybe 30 yards past his receiver. But that, you know what? That's called stretching out the defense. That's called taking the top off because now they know you can throw it that far, so they have to play farther back. But the Bills are 5-1 for the first time since 2008. They slept walk through the first basically three quarters of this game and still won kind of easily. And Ryan Fitzpatrick tried his best to do the Fitz magic through just a back-breaking interception, which is part of Fitz magic. He did the whole thing. So I'm excited the Bills are 5-1, but just don't boo Josh Allen. Because Josh Allen is the perfect quarterback for this team in that I feel like he just makes plays in big moments.
The color rush jerseys look sick, too.
Yeah, they did.
Just covered in red. Say something nice about the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
They put together half.
They were winning.
They were winning well on offense.
Yep.
First time this year.
They were almost up two scores because they were driving 14-9, and that's when Fitzpatrick threw the interception on the goal line.
Yep.
They would have been up 21-9.
Well, 14-9 is two scores if they're both field goals.
True.
So they were up two scores today.
They were actually
big
up
news.
Three over two scores if they were just counting safeties.
And if it's, if they were up five scores if it's just extra points. They're getting better at tanking without making it obvious that they're tanking.
Brian Flores looks pretty fucking badass.
They
showed him on the sideline, and I was like, I kind of trust that guy.
Okay, just like a vibe you're getting from
him? Yeah, I don't know. Something about him. Like, I think he was wearing a vest of some type. I don't know. He just looked like a coach to me. So
throw a vest on.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
You know who needs a vest real bad is Rod Marinelli.
Yes.
On the Cowboys.
Yes.
Don't show anybody over 60 wearing a t-shirt.
No.
That's just a good rule of thumb if you're a camera operator.
I love Rod Marinelli.
One more thing about the Dolphins.
Please.
They made it through a whole game without changing quarterbacks.
That's actually huge.
That's progress. And now that their quarterback of the future, Tua, is hurt, they might actually start to play harder because they don't need to tank for it.
Ooh, they might win some games, you're saying.
Maybe. No,
okay.
Let's not get carried.
Who do the Bills have? Oh, the Bills have, I think, the R-words, and then the Dolphins again coming up. So we've talked about this, but the Bills are going to be – Bills are going to win 10 games.
Yep.
I love it. Oh, I just – playoff Bills football.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen, don't you fucking boo.
And there's a possibility they get a home game.
Don't you think that's kind of ridiculous? Like, Bills fans – have a reality check.
I don't think there were
you guys.
They weren't booing Josh.
They were booing the offense. You guys are 5-1 for the first time since 2008. You're gonna boo?
They were booing because Red Zone wasn't showing much of their game.
Let's just remember, like, this is a nice season that's going on. Don't boo. Okay, next up, Jaguars Bengals. I think it's over for Andy Dalton in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's
tough to watch the end of. He's like an old pet that you've had for a while, and he's just kind of always been around.
It just always was perfect because the red hair and then the helmets and like the,
what a waste,
the color scheme.
What a waste
so great.
Of a great uniform hair color combination.
It really, when they wore the all white color rush and it was like the orange popped and his orange popped.
Mm-hmm.
And He threw three fourth quarter interceptions in six pass attempts. That's rock bottom.
That is pretty bad. We also need to keep an eye on the Joe Mixon stat lines. So
yes.
They're like the Josh Rosen stat lines, but for running backs.
Right.
Today he had 10 carries for 2 yards.
Ooh.
So good job, Joe Mixon.
Okay. That's pretty nice.
That's about it. That's all you can say for this game. Leonard Fournette is somehow good at football again.
Yes. It's crazy. Every time they show red zone now, he's actually ripping off runs.
Yeah.
It's wild. I also think that we've kind of answered the Minshew mania. Good, but needs a little more time. It's Nick Foles' job.
He does this thing when he throws passes where it's like he looks like a kid in a middle school cafeteria.
Here we go.
No, this is what he looks like. A kid in middle school cafeteria throwing food and then trying not to get caught right afterwards. He like throws it and then puts his hand down and like runs away from his pass.
So, I think, I mean, that's almost better, though, because you don't want, like, I think Nick Foles gives you the best option for the next couple of years. So now you can kind of work on Minshew and bring him in for big moments or trade him and have someone be like, ooh, Minshew mania, mm-hmm. who hasn't caught up with the times.
Yeah.
I think he was under 50% today.
Yeah, but he won.
He did win.
But
he's
a
winner.
That's the biggest stat.
He's a winner. And the other thing I wanted to throw out there, Miles Jack had a pick of Andy Dalton and just threw the ball forward to another defender.
Huh?
I think that should be legal. I think all fumbles and interceptions, you should be able to forward pass it.
I like that idea a lot.
How awesome would that be if you basically ran plays? Like if the defense, hey, if we get this ball, I'm going to throw it like 15 yards down the field. Run a slant.
Yeah, you get one. You get one.
No, I think it's unlimited.
During the entire return?
Chaos.
What about this? What if you catch a flag that's thrown by an official? I think that flag shouldn't count if you're a defensive player.
So if you catch it or even just keep it, so what if you just tap it up? Maybe you have to tap it up like a volleyball.
Tip drill?
Yeah, yeah. You have to tap it to one of your teammates and they can catch it.
I like that too.
Because a catch, everyone will be looking for it, and I feel like it would get too easy, so we got to make it a little harder.
Okay.
But yeah, when Miles Jacks did that, it looked ridiculous, but then I paused and I was like, why is that ridiculous? Why can't we just – they're defenders. They don't know how to throw and catch.
Right.
Let's just let them have fun out there.
So on they should not be able to lateral the ball then.
I think
on every play the ball should only be allowed to go forward one way, only one time.
Right.
So if they throw a forward pass and you intercept it, you can throw as many passes because they're still laterals because you're still on defense.
Right.
So the ball's allowed to go that way.
Go that way.
Yeah,
yes.
But it just can't go that
the,
way.
The other way.
Yes.
Yes.
I like
okay,
that.
So we figured it out. Yeah, so it can only go one way. Vikings Lions. Kirk Cousins is all the way back. I actually got a text from a friend of mine in Minneapolis who's like, I think Kirk Cousins is good.
This is what's happening.
And I said, oh no.
This is what's happening. I'd actually like to apologize to Vikings fans and to Kirk Cousins. I put the dun chain on them after 2 weeks.
You did. It was
weeks.
Aggressive.
I would like
even
to
at the time.
Apologize to Kirk Cousins, to Mike Zimmer, to Vikings fans around the world for absolutely nothing, because they are going to rip your hearts out in a matter that you have not seen since, well, I guess,
but here's
just
the
Blair
thing.
Walsh.
They're going to go, I was looking at their schedule, they're going to be 8-3.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they have
he
the sucked. Reds.
That's how he gets you. He
they have the Redskins on a short week at home, revenge game.
Yep.
At the Chiefs against the Mahomes-less Chiefs. At the Cowboys, who the fuck knows, and then at home against the Broncos. They're going to win 3 out of 4 of those. They will win 3 out of 4 of those. They will be 8-3. And everyone will say, are the Vikings, like, because they do have tons of talent. They have Dalvin Cook, who's a monster, and Kirk Cousins somehow threw 4 touchdowns.
But you have primetime Kirk Cousins this week against the R-Words. So neither one.
I think this might actually break the primetime Kirk Cousins streak.
The very stoppable force against the extremely movable object. The Redskins suck in primetime. Kirk Cousins sucks in primetime. Obviously, there's a lot of overlap there from the years that he spent in D.C., both sucking together. But I don't know. I'm not ready to I'm not going to crown Kirk Cousins yet. I think I've learned from my mistakes with Kirk Cousins, and this is exactly what he does. He gets you thinking that, okay, he's a legitimate quarterback. He's throwing for 4 touchdowns. Adam Thielen's hurt. He still played a really good game against what I thought was a good defense. But this is right when you're very certain that Kirk Cousins is great is when he just pulls the rug out from under you.
I don't disagree that he's going to like morph back into real Kirk Cousins and put up an absolute stinker in front of the whole country at some point. I think that Dallas game is a prime time as well. But your dun chain was aggressive and kind of slapped in the face of all dun chains.
It was.
It ruined the dun chain.
It did not ruin the
you
dun chain.
You dun chained the dun chain.
I did not. I stand by the dun chain.
You tried to get in front of the dun chain and be like, try to showboat the dun chain.
I thought that
you
don't
respect it.
I thought that I had a take, and instead of squatting on a take, I just put it out there in front of everybody.
I have a question for you, Kirk Cousins. The power of saying sorry, because since he has said sorry, he's been incredible. You want to say something to Hank? Power of saying sorry.
Hank, I even forget what I'm apologizing to Hank about.
If you say sorry to someone...
Just me being having superior football knowledge and prediction skills in 2016.
That's true.
Hank, you had a great 2016.
And your?
I'm sorry that I didn't apologize to you in 2016.
No, that doesn't count as a sorry for 2016, though.
It's getting closer, though.
It is. But wouldn't you say the power of an apology is pretty strong with Kirk Cousins? He's been a different guy since he said sorry for sucking.
It is. He should just find something new to apologize for every single week.
Yeah. I mean, well, he's still living off his last apology.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of is cool with it.
I'm trying to figure out. So the Dunn chain is a sacred totem that we've put on teams in the past.
Correct.
Last year, you said that you cut your pinky finger off. I'm getting close to making them my hair bet because I still don't have
no,
a hair
you
bet.
Can't you can't cut your hair though. You can't.
You were gonna who are you off. To decide, Big Cat?
Because it's that's his look.
You're going to cut your pinky off.
Well, everyone yeah, I mean, no pinky. One cares about my pinky. Yeah, I don't want you to cut your hair. Would you just cut your hair and just be like
just a normal regular? Guy?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like you'd lose all your powers.
Yeah, like Samson?
Yeah, I actually am nervous about that. Mm-hmm. No joke.
Okay, I'll reconsider then. Okay. I need to think of something else to do with the Vikings.
It sounds like you might be nervous about it too.
And obviously this entire thing that like I don't like Kirk Cousins because of what he's done to me in the past. I've got a very sore spot and bad memories from him. So I am coming at it from a place of being triggered. So I would like to apologize to Kirk Cousins.
There you go.
For hating you so much for good reason.
The other thing with this game, we have to give a hat tip to Lions fans. They came out in such great force with the ref costumes. It was peak NFL humor. The husband and wife who were dressed in ref uniforms and ski masks booing the refs, that is my NFL.
Uh-huh.
There was guys dressed as clowns in ref uniforms. There was just a guy dressed in a ref uniform, and I don't even think he was making like a comment about it. He was wearing a Lions hat, no glasses to show that he was blind or anything. He just was like, fuck these guys. I look so shitty that if I put a ref's uniform on, it's a burn on them.
That guy just came from Foot Locker. That's where he works. Yes, and he just rolled straight into the game. I'd have to take my hat off to Roger Goodell for not making ref uniforms publicly available for sale. That's a smart move on his part.
Yes.
You can't mock him if you can't buy him.
But it was so peak NFL humor. Mm-hmm. Like the three blind mice
the
and
clown,
everything.
The
yeah.
clown refs were the best.
The clown refs. So credit to you, Lions fans. Your season's pretty much over, and it pretty much ended with the refs because
yep.
if they win that game against the Packers, it is a butterfly effect thing. I feel like they ran out of gas against the Vikings.
They got
today.
Their souls taken. Yeah.
Right,
it's tough to bounce back from that loss.
So yeah, credit to you guys though for showing up and really fucking with the refs. You guys own them. All right, Raiders Packers. Aaron Rodgers is good. Whatever.
He's very good. He's better than good. He's MVP.
No.
This is MVP Aaron that we're seeing right now.
Oh.
5 touchdowns. Pretty good. Got the game ball. By the way, LaFleur, here's a little pro tip for you. Just always give Aaron Rodgers the game ball. Little gestures like that go a long way.
No, because eventually he'll be like, why does he keep giving me the game ball? Is he doing this to fuck with me?
You think
Aaron
so?
Rodgers, yeah, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's pretty much how it ended with his family.
He's too smart. Yeah,
he kept on giving him
presents.
Yeah,
and he was like, "No, I'm
he's
not."
Like, wait, why are they giving me Christmas gifts?
He's gonna start asking for the gift receipt for the for the game ball.
Every year they give me Christmas gifts. They right always, around the same time.
They say he's like too smart.
Yeah,
and then you have to keep him stimulated. He's like, if you give a border collie the same toy correct. Over and over again, okay, so give him something new every game.
Yeah, change up the locker room
mm-hmm.
so he doesn't. He thinks he's in a new surrounding.
Yeah.
all the time. I'm happy that everything I thought about the Raiders was true.
You were on the edge of saying the Raiders might be for real.
They almost did it.
You forgot about it.
They had to win this game.
Yeah.
They almost did it. And Derek Carr, you're a bum. You're a bum.
The Derek Carr rule is what we're calling it now. They're reaching for the end zone, fumbling through to get a touchback. By the way, I love that rule.
Yes.
I think if you don't like that rule, big dump in your pants.
Well, I've always said that the only rule change I would love there is if it was a hoop that you could throw the ball into.
Yeah.
And that counts as a touchdown. So it adds a little. But if you don't get it in there, then it's a touchback.
Well, the end zone is a different place. The laws of physics and nature and man do not exist in the same way in the end zone as they do out in the field. Like, if you're reaching for the end zone as an offensive player and the ball breaks the plane and you get tackled and then fumble the ball, it's still a touchdown.
Right.
So there should be something that counterbalances it for the defense. The touchback rule, I think, is great. And it adds in our favorite element of all, which is chaos.
Chaos and Derek Carr being an idiot.
Yep.
So I looked it up. Derek Carr has 23 career fumbles since he came in the league. That's the most since that time in that time period.
Uh-huh.
Hand size?
Ooh.
What is your guess?
9 1/4.
9 1/8.
Oh, that's tiny.
Tiny.
That's tiny, bro.
It was big time on his red flags when he was coming out of college. I know like the general populace laughs about the hand size thing, but time and time again, it is true.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jameis fumbles all the time, small hands. Derek Carr fumbles all the time, small hands.
Yep.
So I might just do my draft analysis 100% based on hands.
I don't see a problem with that.
Like, I don't care about any of your stats. I don't care how far you can throw. Just give me your hand size. If it's over 9 3/4, I'm drafting you.
I like that. I like the stats that you're looking at there. I did see before the game that John Gruden said that they were going all in, that there were going to be buyers at the trade deadline, which I love. I love. If you give John Gruden just like 2 or 3 wins to build off before the trade deadline, he's going to go all in. I'm excited to see how many first-round picks they're going to try to trade away for, like, probably, what do you think, Julio Jones? They'd be looking at Julio.
Why not? Yeah.
A.J. Green.
Bring back Antonio Brown.
Yeah, exactly. Go all in, John. I want to see what all in John Gruden looks like.
The Raiders, so I know Raiders fans would be mad because we're kind of bashing them, but they are not good. But Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs are awesome.
Very good.
Very, very
and
good.
And Alec Ingold, too.
And Alec Ingold. Green Bay native.
Ooh.
There's a big story about that.
Homecoming game
for
him.
And Jimmy Graham is still alive.
He is?
He actually caught some balls today.
I think that Aaron Rodgers plays better when his receivers kind of stink.
Yeah.
Because he's free of the expectation of having to, like, get all of them the ball. He gets all the glory if they win. Like, if the Packers win a game with Marquez Valdez-Scantling as their number one, then Aaron Rodgers is like, I'm the fucking man.
And he can give them the pouty face, you fucked up Aaron Rodgers look, and no one can be like, dude, what are you doing? That guy's actually good.
Yep.
Because it's all no names.
Yep.
I agree with that. That's actually, I'm all in on that theory. But yeah, I don't know. The Packers are fucking good again. What else?
They're really good. Packers are good, and they're fun to watch too, aren't they?
No, they aren't. Okay. Texans, Colts. Ooh, where do I want to start here?
How about this? Jacoby Brissett had another stat line that would have made him look like a witch 20 years ago. But nowadays, it's just like, oh, Jacoby Brissett played well.
Yes.
326 yards, 4 touchdowns. And I'm squatting on a take. Quentin Nelson is going to catch a touchdown pass sometime this year.
Ooh. From the guard position.
No, they did a thing where he reported as eligible today.
Was he playing a tackle or was he...
He was as a tackle, and he was in the end zone when Eric Ebron caught that touchdown.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
He deserves it. Jacoby Brissett is way better than I think anyone expected.
Mm-hmm.
Although there were some people who loved him, but I'm stunned that the Colts are as good as they are, losing their franchise quarterback 3 weeks before the season.
Well, now they don't have a guy that's congratulating his opponents when he gets sacked all the time and boosting their confidence.
Is it weird that Andrew Luck is just hanging out around the Colts facility?
Is that what he's doing?
Yep. There was a picture of him with Jacoby Brissett, like just Colts gear hanging out. That's weird, right?
He's coming back.
Because I feel like they're going to win just enough games where he's like, ooh, playoff football?
Have you ever worked in an office where a guy that quit or retired comes back from time to time?
It's weird.
It's a different vibe when they walk back in.
Yes.
It's like, what's your angle? What are you doing here?
Yeah, like what?
After like the second time, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like when you come back the first time, it's, hey, you're back. And
hey,
then,
cool. Good to catch up. And then you come back again and you're just like, wait, what am I doing? All we did was work together.
Hank, you kept coming back into work like over and over again after you were no longer employed here, right?
Yeah, that's a different situation though.
Yeah. That's just the
That's how you get back in the lineup.
That's tenacity.
Yes, exactly. Stick-to-itiveness.
Correct.
But yeah, Andrew Luck, very weird move. I don't really understand it. Maybe I don't know. Maybe he's got a prescription for Jim Irsay.
I think that could be it. that's actually as good a theory as I've heard. I think he's just bored.
Yeah.
I think Andrew Luck's just bored, and he's looking for friends to play games with.
What? Here's the other part. Why does he still live in Indiana?
Yeah, I figured he'd be in Berlin by now.
Right.
Someplace with nice architecture.
Pretty much. And I like Indianapolis a lot, so I would live there, but I don't know if I'd live there if I had $50 million or $100 million or whatever he has. I'd visit there.
I would summer in Indy.
Yeah, I would summer in there. But
actually, flip that. I would go there in the winter because it's a good. You can walk everywhere indoors.
True, but once late October comes, I'd probably get somewhere a little warmer.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I would be out of there. How about Deshaun Watson? You want to talk about the Texans a little bit?
In the grasp.
I think there should be a sliding scale for when a quarterback is in the grasp, depending on who that quarterback is.
So you think he should be...
He's never really in the grasp.
He's never really in the grasp, but then alternatively, or you know, on the other side of the argument, he needs to be protected at all costs.
That's true. I'll give you that. But quarterbacks like Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston, Eli, those guys were born in the grasp. They're in the grasp once they get the ball. Once they can smell a fart from a defender, they are sacked, and you should blow the whistle immediately.
Here's the thing with that play, and if you missed it, essentially... Deshaun Watson made an incredible play. He like got out of the grasp of one of the players. Then he got smoked, but they whistled it down. They threw a touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins. They should have just huddled up and been like, that was pretty cool. Touchdown.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, that was just a cool play.
Agreed. There should, yeah, you should be able to overrule that. That's what Sky Judge will do overrule, for us eventually.
It was cool.
Sky Judge will be like, yo, that was boss.
Yeah, like, we probably want to put that on highlight tape, so yep. Let's call that a touchdown. They also did in the grass, but then still let him get hit, which made no sense.
Yeah. And well, are you saying they should have called a penalty against the
I don't know. Yeah, it was weird.
If you're in the grasp and you blow the whistle and then you get hit.
Right.
All this grasp talk doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Right. It's just another rule that's confusing and that people can bitch about. The Texans, unofficial stat from our PMT sabermetrics department, the Texans lead the league in the last 5 years in losing games where you can walk away and say, we didn't lose, we beat ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
They are the kings of that. I feel like every time they lose, it's like, well, the Texans just shot themselves in the foot.
I would back that up to like the last 20 years. Yeah. Even when they were getting their asses kicked by Peyton Manning, there were always a couple games where Sage Rosenfels just goes flipping through the air where it's like, oh, you should have beat them if you just didn't fumble that one ball.
Didn't lose, beat ourselves.
Beat ourselves.
That's Bill O'Brien. That's the name of his autobiography. I didn't lose at life. I just beat myself.
I beat myself. Over. That's actually
all
good.
The time.
Yeah, that would be a good name for me too.
Okay, let's go to Cardinals Giants. I have something I have to say about Pat Shurmur. I think he's a terrible, terrible head coach, and I think he should be fired.
Go off.
Okay. So I'll start with this. After the game, he said, everyone has to be better, which is essentially in coach speak, throwing your whole team under the bus. Because, of course, you could be like, well, he's included in everyone. But most coaches will say, I have to be better. I have to prepare myself, my guys better. It falls on me. He said everyone has to be better. So he basically shit down everyone's throat when he has been a terrible coach. And remember we had this theory that Eli Manning was essentially like a body shield for Pat Shurmur bad coach takes?
Yep.
The one thing that I hate when coaches play to not get blown out, play to not win a game. 2 weeks ago, they play the Patriots. Do you remember 4th and 2, down two scores, Pat Shurmur punts.
Yep.
This week, 4th and 15 on their own 33, down 3 points, 2 timeouts, he goes for it.
He's overcorrecting.
He's overcorrecting, and he's not being consistent, and it's so clear that what he did 2 weeks ago was to basically play so that he could play and be like, hey, we only lost the Patriots by 14, which they end up losing by 21. And this week, he was like, fuck it, let's just try to win this here. And oh, on top of all that, his 3rd timeout, where did it go? It went because he fucking used it before a punt with 4 minutes left in the game.
On the other side of things, I do like knowing that we as members of the media have such an effect on Pat Shurmur's brain that he's adapting to gain our acceptance and our love as pundits.
Yes.
So I do appreciate that from him. He also, on 3rd and 18, he went for it. He called a draw play.
Yeah.
So
and he blamed Daniel Jones.
Oh, I was going to say
Daniel Jones audible.
He blamed Freddie Kitchens.
Yes.
That would have made more sense. So he threw his quarterback under the bus.
Correct.
Okay, I like that.
So he stinks. I don't think he's a good coach, and I think he got a nice little fucking Eli Manning year and a half where Sir Mara had him start Eli, and you could say, well, it's not Pat Shurmur's fault. Eli stinks. Now, guess what? Daniel Jones seems to be pretty good. You have Saquon Barkley. You had Ingram back, Golden Tate, and you stink.
I have a question. Are we sure that Daniel Jones is good? I would personally like to apologize to Dave Gettleman for giving him credit for drafting Daniel Jones a couple weeks ago. He had a good game against
the Bucks. It was the Bucks game.
If if they missed the field goal in that game.
And if we hadn't bet on it.
Right now, like I still kind of have a soft spot for him because I'm like, that guy won me money.
It's the Paxton Lynch law.
Yeah, a few weeks ago. but I don't think he's good. He did get sacked 8 times, and if your offense gives up anything to the defense 8 times, I don't care what it is. If the defense is allowed to do something 8 times to your quarterback, that's a bad day.
That is a bad, bad day. But I don't know. If you're a Giants fan, the NFC East stinks, and I know you're not going to win it, but you would have, you know, if you win today, you're tied with the Eagles for 2nd place, and you blew it at home. I'm going to give the Cardinals, and the nice thing about the Cardinals is, like, whatever we say, good or bad, no one's ever going to tweet us about them because there's no Cardinal fans out there. But
Cortez.
And Clu Haywood. But the Cardinals are actually, like, putting together something. I don't know what it is. I haven't really put my finger on it. But they've won three in a row, and it's something.
I think they're just weird. They're putting together something, but they've beaten probably the three worst teams in the league.
Right.
Three of the worst teams in the league.
But they're fun.
They're weird.
Right. But they're fun.
They are fun.
Which is worth something.
Yeah, and they've got a tie in their record, which I always enjoy because it just makes things a little bit more interesting
It makes it so you have to do a little bit more math, and it's like, it's kind of a, it's the tie teams are always just a brain exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does this work? So I can't figure out if the Bears are ahead or behind the Lions.
They're probably behind. Just bank on the fact that they're probably behind.
I don't know. But the tie really fucks you up.
It does.
It really, really fucks you up. Yeah, so Pat Shurmur, if you're a Giants fan, I feel like you have to be mad at Pat Shurmur, and you have every right to be mad at Pat Shurmur.
You brought up the Bears. You want to go there?
No, we're going to get there. We're going through the – we're chronological.
Okay.
Don't rush it. Don't go and rush the Bears. We're going to get
That's
there.
A good tease. Tune in later.
Tune in later.
Part of my take.
Yeah, before we get to the rest of the games, tune in later.
I thought we were working ourselves back.
No, we start at the back. We started at the front.
We hit Sunday Night Football.
We did a Native American run.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly
right.
What we did.
Got it.
You got it? Okay.
So our words next.
Wait, before we do that, for whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. One last thing. Pat Shurmur reminded me, the Kyle Shurmur, his son, is going to be the backup quarterback for the Chiefs.
Okay.
And speaking of gambling stuff, I think Kyle Shurmur is a franchise quarterback.
Why do you say that?
Because he covered with Vanderbilt at Notre Dame last year.
What are his hands?
I don't know. Can you look up Kyle Shurmur's hand size? But that's all it took. He went to Notre Dame and covered the spread.
Okay.
With Vanderbilt.
So would you want him as quarterback of your Chicago Bears?
We'll do that later.
Okay, we'll get
okay,
to that.
49ers Redskins.
Yes.
Fucking awesome weather game.
Smelliest balls game of the year. This is a game where it would have been so much fun to play in as a kid, where everyone's just belly flopping and sliding around the field.
Do you know what do you got?
8.88.
No!
Nope, can't take him off my big
disavow.
Board.
Disavow.
Off my big board.
China and Kyle Shurmur, disavow. This, PFT, this was a snow game that was just a little warmer.
That's all it was?
Yeah.
That's all it was. I can't believe the Redskins lost on homecoming. We never lose on homecoming.
How many people were in the stands?
There were a lot of people in the stands, and I was very confused by that. So it was a monsoon out. The lower bowl was filled, and if you've been to a game in Raljan in the last 15 years, there are never anybody in the stands. There's never anybody in the stands.
Right.
It's never packed. It was packed. I think Dan Snyder is getting very angry and upset in his little man cave that the Washington Nationals, Capitals, and Mystics are all doing really well, and so he's paying people to come in, like George Soros is busing in protesters.
That's
he's
good.
Busing in fans to sit in the stands. And thank God it was raining out there today, because I think the next step is you're going to see Redskins fans lighting themselves on fire like Tibetan monks.
Ooh.
Protesting this game.
And then still no one will care.
And then still no one will care. And then Dan Snyder will light a cigar using your flames.
Like, dude, you lit yourself on fire for nothing.
For absolutely nothing.
So this was I enjoyed watching this game just because fun weather games are the best when you just – shit just doesn't look like a real football game. I think who was playing quarterback for the
Case
Redskins?
Keenum.
Okay, because they weren't using him.
Right.
I think they threw like 12 times.
Yeah, they threw 12.
Bill Callahan's throwback offense. He almost got sacked on a guy jumping and sliding and then catching up to him on the slide.
Uh huh. And there was another play where the right tackle, Morgan Moses, just didn't move.
Yes.
And he took a sack on that one. It was a comedy of errors. It was really, really bad. And they lost to Kyle Shanahan. And Shanahan gave his dad the game ball. So I looked this up. The Washington Redskins, here's a fun stat for you.
Okay.
This is the third fired coach's son that the Washington Redskins have lost to.
Mm.
So Scott Turner.
Yep.
Norv Turner was his dad. They fired Norv Turner. Scott Turner has beaten the Redskins. And Brian Schottenheimer has beaten the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
So they lead the league in dads getting fired and their sons coming back to avenge their firedness.
I can't wait till Billy Spurrier shows up.
The Oedipus Rexkins is what I'm calling
Ooh,
them.
Ooh, I like
you
that.
You like that one?
I like that a lot. They stink.
Yep.
They're really, really bad. But Bill Callahan doing this, like, hey, let's just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, I respect it.
I like it, too.
I respect it.
And they covered the spread despite the fact they didn't score a point.
It was, yeah, impressive.
That's pretty challenging.
Kentucky did that this weekend, too.
Yep.
They lost 21-0 and covered the spread. The fact that the 49ers didn't cover the spread, I feel like Kyle Shanahan should be put in jail for a week. Because he talked about revenge, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And if you talk about revenge, you have to cover the spread. You have to play for the spread. You can't just run the ball out and kick a field goal. Didn't you need to run the ball in the end zone so that you can not only get your revenge, but also get everyone who dumbly thought, hey, he's going to run the score up because he said the word revenge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if he even said the word revenge.
He implied it heavily.
You implied it. The implication was there, Kyle Shanahan. You should be locked up.
Yep, agreed. Also, here's another fun stat. It's been a year since the Redskins won a home game. So that's cool, too.
1 year?
Yeah, over a year.
Over a year now since they
won a home game.
We should say
also, it's a bad, bad day at the office watching this game when the most exciting offensive play comes on Jimmy Garoppolo throwing an interception that pinned the Redskins deeper than they would have been.
Arm punt.
On fourth down.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We need to say something about the 49ers because people have said we've, quote-unquote, been sleeping on them. And by people, I mean George Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is pretty, pretty good.
Yeah.
So they have held the last three games. How many points has the opposing team scored?
Zero today. So it's probably more than zero, I would guess.
Yeah, just a little more than zero.
20 points.
10. 10 points in the last three games. 176 yards passing.
That's pretty good.
Wait, no, that's wrong.
Not, that can't be hundreds, right.
No, yeah, no, that is right. Because
did they play Rutgers twice?
No, they played the Browns, who they killed. They played the Rams, who they killed. And they played the Redskins, who they killed.
Yeah.
So they have been crushing teams.
49ers, this is us respecting you. And George Kittle specifically. This is us respecting you.
They are very, very good. And I believe in them. They're undefeated. Last of the undefeateds with the Patriots. So here's us respecting you. This is it. Do like a moment of respect. Ready?
Plus, was it press?
Yeah,
X to pay respects?
That was right. By the way, that was right. Okay. I just looked it up again.
I'm pressing X right now.
Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Respect.
Respect.
Okay, that was our moment of respect for the 49ers. Let's go to the Chargers Titans. I feel bad for Phil Rivers.
I do too.
It's sad.
It is sad. He plays like I said earlier. He plays football like a dog in a thunderstorm. Now he's just always panicking. Is drooling.
He panics the first quarter. He panics like fourth quarter Phil Rivers. It's spread.
I don't know how much shorter his throwing motion can get. He's going to try. He's going to find out how much shorter it can
and his
get.
His face, and he's just mother freaking all over the place. Because that's the worst part. Mm-hmm. Phil Rivers, his anger is so clearly visible, but because he can't swear, it never has an escape. Like he is just, it's like basically a sneeze that he hasn't been able to sneeze his entire life. He just needs to let out one good fuck. Like, he probably is going to flip out at one of his 9 kids at some point in, like, 10 years from now, and everyone's going to stop, and it's going to be silent around the Rivers household. Be like, what did Dad just say?
I hope it's during, like, one of his kids' weddings, and where he gets up to give the speech, and he's just a little too drunk, and
just
opens up.
He just fucking lights him up, and he's not really mad at the kid. He's mad that Melvin Gordon fumbled on the 1-yard line against the Titans in Week 7 in 2019.
Yeah, this game is a different story if Melvin Gordon doesn't fumble on the 1-inch line, and we're probably not saying all these things about Philip. No, I probably would be, because he looked ridiculous for most of the game today. And the Chargers have done such a good job at never drafting anybody that's a threat to take Philip Rivers' job.
Yep.
That we just know that it's going to be him for the foreseeable future.
So the Titans are back, kind of, 3-4, kind of.
They're going to be one of these teams that goes on a run and just pisses me off.
They're butt cheeks.
They're going to play in the wild card round.
Ryan Tannehill, ready to take a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good call by Coach Vrabel.
He was born to wear that Titans blue and gray,
yes,
or whatever colors they are.
Yeah. Candy ass.
Yeah, he looks perfect.
It is a candy ass uniform.
I did notice that Russillo said that they weren't going to talk about the Titans at all.
Oh.
So we should actually just talk about the Titans for 20 minutes
and
corner that market.
The Titans.
Titans. I already used my A material on the whole Warren Sharp, Mike Vrabel thing.
What's the name of their stadium? I think it's the Nissan.
Nissan, yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
Is that the truck or is that the noodles?
No, it's the truck.
It'd be better if it would be called it the ramen bowl.
Yeah, and they had big, big chopsticks as you walked in.
That'd be sick.
That would be really sick.
Uh-huh.
And
only college kids would go there?
That'd be cool. Let's see.
The Titans. What can we say about the Titans?
Their offensive line's
has a podcast. They have Malcolm.
Hasn't been caught with doing steroids in at least a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Malcolm Butler hasn't been benched for mysterious reasons yet.
Their defense is awesome.
Derrick Henry has cool hair.
Derrick Henry has very cool hair, Hank.
And he's also a load.
Corey Davis is the classic wide receiver that you can be like, he might be awesome if he had a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool. I always like those guys.
Like an Allen Robinson type guy? Yeah.
Well, okay. We're going to get there. We just keep trying to just sneak it in there. Allen Robinson is good, though.
Yeah, he is.
So... wrong.
Yeah. So the Titans. What else about the Titans?
Do you listen to that podcast, by the way?
Which one?
The one with Chris. And
are you talking about Russillo or the Bussin?
No, Ryan and Chris.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Ugh.
You have to be pretty high to understand anything Chris Long says. So I'm not in the right frame of mind. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, except that they don't talk about the Titans. So if you're a Titans fan,
we're the number one.
Don't you Titans dare listen podcast. To their podcast. Yeah. We listen to this one where we call you butt cheeks to your face. That's fun.
I mean, it is a compliment for me to say they're going to go on a run and piss me off.
Yeah.
They're going to probably make the wild card round.
And it's a compliment to say that they're butt cheeks, because guess what? Ass eating season is still back.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually are probably the most attractive part of the body for some people who like to eat ass.
Do you ever,
Gabrielle Union, she's like, ooh, imagine if Gabrielle Union wore a Titans uniform.
Yeah.
It'd look hot.
It would. It would look pretty
so
sick.
So hot. We're running out of material on the Titans.
This is all we got for the Titans.
Vrabel's mustache is awesome, and we love Coach Vrabel. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a good coach in a situation where
it's tough to
not
be
a lot of
coach.
Talent. So he's getting the most. I feel like just the fact that he got them to, what, 8 wins last year, and the fact that he's got them at 3-4 this year shows that he's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know where their wins have come from.
Whenever
they win, you're just like, really? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I guess the Titans won a game.
I guess they've become so unmemorable that we're starting to remember them a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
They've
kind
of flipped
the
script
stuck
on
in
us.
Our head. Okay. All right. Baltimore, Seattle. Hand up. The Baltimore Ravens are not frauds. You won that game.
That's big of you.
You won that game. I sent the tweet. You're not frauds. That was an impressive win. An impressive road win. I'm not going to talk about the fact that the Seahawks miss Will Disley a lot, and their offense looks very different without him. I'm not going to talk about the fact that having a quarterback that can't be tackled because he's so elusive is borderline cheating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say the Ravens are awesome.
They're not frauds.
They're not frauds. They're not awesome. They're good. They're real.
Michael Kendricks
real
could
good?
Learn a lot
real.
About not being
real
a fraud
good?
From the Ravens.
They're not real good yet. They are real, though. They are a real. If things broke their way, they could be a competitor in the AFC Championship game.
Uh huh. I find it a little bit distasteful and borderline disrespectful that you said that missing Will Disley was the biggest problem they have, even though Luke Wilson has stepped right in.
Luke Wilson has stepped right in, but it did. Their offense looked a little different than it has. You know, Russ Wilson had like an MVP season going on.
Yeah.
And then he throws that pick where I just. That one was crazy.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of talk about how DK Metcalf going into the draft, he could only run a straight line. He was fast. He was big, but
pacifier.
He couldn't do other things. The pacifier lacking in other areas. But my official evaluation is that DK Metcalf is a spaz.
Yeah.
He's just a spaz.
He complains a lot about flags.
Yeah, you're right. He does. Mm-hmm. He looks at the refs a lot.
Yep,
but
a lot.
That one fumble that he had today, was such a spaz.
It was. His body just... could not control itself.
His muscles were too big, and he tried to run and just dropped the ball.
Yeah, and Tyler Lockett is Doug Baldwin.
Yep.
They're the same guy. Whenever Russell Wilson has one of his plays where he runs around and then just throws a moonshot.
The teardrop.
To no one, Tyler Lockett's there to catch his teardrop.
How come nobody on that team wears, the receivers don't wear 80s anymore?
I don't know.
This is like
it's
a
annoying.
League-wide issue, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's annoying. I agree.
Make receivers 8 again.
So, yeah, Lamar Jackson is incredible when running the football.
Yeah.
It's really insane to watch. Like, you see, it's insane to watch an NFL defense look so slow when trying to catch Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so fucking elusive, and he always is there for the big play. I still have questions about his throwing, but who cares, because he can clearly win games by being that like dual threat guy.
And his deep ball is pretty good too.
Yeah.
He's got a good deep ball. And you're right, like it's tough to you rarely see an NFL talent that's able to make other NFL players look like they're still
slow.
In college.
Yes.
And not just that, but it's like a slapstick It's like there should be a laugh track underneath him when he's running the football because people miss him so comically.
Yes.
They just like tackle air, and then they all get up with that look on their face, which is like laughing at themselves. It, so they just got their jock taken out from underneath them, but they're happy that Lamar Jackson did it.
Right. And if third and eight, the game was in hand. They were up two scores, but third and eight, and the play call is for a designed run. And it's like, oh, that's actually a really good play call.
Yeah.
Because you cannot touch him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Seahawks know they're running, and they still couldn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So my credit to the Ravens. Here's me. I am saying I'm sorry. I was wrong. Now you guys are probably going to lose by 100 to the Patriots, and I'm going to probably throw the F word back out there. But for right now, not frauds, good team.
They're a real football
team. 5-2.
They're a real boy.
Now they have the AFC North stranglehold.
Okay.
Stranglehold.
So you're getting off the Pittsburgh Steelers take then?
No, I think the Steelers will still be in the mix. But right now, I mean, it's tough because the Steelers didn't play.
Yeah.
So they couldn't win.
I don't know. I think the Ravens are going to walk to it.
Walk?
Walk to it. I said it.
I think the Steelers are still going to get back in the mix because their defense is coming, rounding into form. All right, should we do our Who's Back of the Week? That was our NFL Week 7 recap.
There was one game that we didn't talk about. Hank, who did you have
we
on
talked
your
about,
list?
Did we talk about the Chiefs-Broncos?
That was Thursday. We talked about that on a Friday show.
Saints and Bears.
Oh, Saints and Bears. Okay.
Yeah. America's Game of the Week.
I'm just gonna,
that was America's I'm gonna Game go, of the Week.
I'm going to go through some quarterbacks, and then you could tell me if you would like to have them on your team or not. Andy Dalton.
Just on my team?
As starting quarterbacks.
We could be anything?
Andy Dalton.
No.
Sam Darnold.
Yes. What? That's a stupid question. Of course.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No.
Eli Manning.
No.
Derek Carr. You're thinking about Derek Carr. You're thinking about Derek Carr.
Hand size, no.
This is red alert for you that you're thinking about Derek Carr.
No. Mitch isn't good. I don't know what else to say. He's not good. Could he get good? Probably not, but I can sit here and just keep hoping because you drafted him second overall. You traded up for him. You've invested in him. The team is built around having the rookie quarterback and having a great defense, and he just hasn't progressed. We're 7 weeks into the season, and he has gone backwards, and I think some of the blame has to be Matt Nagy because Matt Nagy is a horrific play caller as far as I've seen this year. He ran the ball 7 times,
mm-hmm.
and it's like the Bears are stuck in this weird, bizarro world where you can essentially – it's like a domino effect where you can blame everything. So they can't run the ball, so they pass the ball, but they can't pass the ball because Mitch can't hit receivers – so then they got to try to run the ball, but they aren't able to run the ball because no one respects Mitch passing the ball, and it just all fucking doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a disaster, and it was embarrassing. They put up fucking junkyard stats at the end, so that if you wake up and you look at the box score, you're like, oh, that wasn't that bad. It was bad. It was every bit bad. And I tweeted this, but the Bears offense has done the impossible. They have murdered the Bears defense because the Bears defense basically is stuck trying to be on the field for 40 minutes a game and having horrific starting field position against them. And they have murdered the once proud Chicago Bears defense.
Here's a spin zone, though. The Saints are really good. The Saints are probably the
Saints
best team in
the
NFC.
Saints are very good, but this is now 2 weeks. And look, besides the game against the Redskins, the offense has looked terrible. And you ran the ball 7 times. And I know, you got 17 yards, but you still ran the ball 7 times. You can't be like, the running game didn't work. Well, how do you know if the running game didn't work when you run the ball 7 times?
Mm-hmm.
And again, Mitch is bad. So, like, there's nothing I can say where I'm not trying to say, like, Matt Nagy's fault or the offensive line's fault. Everyone kind of sucks right now except Allen Robinson. So, and then they made fun of Tariq Cohen's height.
That was over the
someone
line.
Someone who is very good Listen, friends and co-hosts a podcast with a very short man, I was personally offended.
Not that short, but Tariq Cohen, how tall is he? 5'6", 5'7"?
He's like 5'9".
He's really?
No.
He's like an Altuve.
Yeah, I was going to be so bad.
Honestly, your face
was just like, what?
If you were serious that he was 5'9", I was about to write a letter to Roger Goodell demanding that he suspends the entire Saints defensive staff. Because what they did to Tariq Cohen was way over the line. You don't make fun of a man's height. You just don't do it.
Right.
He doesn't control that, okay? He is a great football. You know how much Tariq Cohen has overcome in his life?
A lot.
Being born 5'6".
Right.
So I'd appreciate it if the Saints showed a little bit more class in winning than that. That's just, yes. You don't do that. You just don't do it. I'm sorry.
Sean Payton was talking shit. And Matt Nagy's been outcoached by John Gruden and Sean Payton back-to-back weeks severely. And you're coming off a bye week. And it's bullshit. The team stinks. The defense is still great.
Your best offensive play was your punter giving up a safety.
The best offensive play was Cordell Patterson running it back an awesome sky cam.
Shout out sky cam.
Which is just more of the same line of thinking that I've been saying all year, that we are a parody of every Bears team that I've ever watched, that the best offense is special teams.
Verbal meme, Antonio Banderas biting his fist gif to that sky cam view
of
the return.
It was so
good. It was cinema.
And the Bears were back for a second. But man, they just, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I think I'm echoing pretty much what everyone's thinking if you're a Bears fan. Like, it's a crisis mode, and nothing works on offense. And it's very sad to think that last year was the best this will be for a while, because you put your chips in the middle. I don't know what you do with Mitch next year, because you have the fourth year he's under contract. Do you just go and try to find a new quarterback?
Chase Daniel.
No. Chase Daniel stinks too. Everyone fucking stinks. The Bears are destined to never have a franchise quarterback. It will never, ever happen. It will never happen. The fact that we had Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes in that draft class, it will never happen. It is destined. It is preordained. It will never, ever happen. The only way the Bears can ever win a Super Bowl is to just play such good defense that no one can ever score against them, and then fart their way into the end zone once a game.
If it was a little rainier in that Super Bowl in Miami, I think you could have beaten Peyton Manning. Just a little
fumble-itis.
Bit. A little more
Rex
rainy.
Grossman needed 12-inch hands. Damn, it sucks. And we still haven't even talked about the Badgers, which we're going to do in a minute.
But how about,
fuck, was this a bad weekend?
I forgot about the Badgers, too. That's a tough weekend if anybody was a fan of both those teams. How about Sean Payton running the most Nebraska play of all time?
What?
The option. He ran the option using two fullbacks.
Oh, how about, yeah, that was awesome. How about Matt Nagy running an option to the right where Mitch Trubisky's hurt left shoulder was just basically out in the open to get blown up? Maybe he was
probably
trying to get him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Run that play more often. Actually, don't. We don't root for injuries.
No, and I like Mitch. And, like, I want him to be good. He just isn't.
All right.
Maybe someday.
You got to say,
I'm not going to totally give up on him. That's the thing. I'm not going to say it's like, the thing is, people will give up on him, and I understand your line of thinking, but what is the alternative right now? There is none. So I have to sit here, and I'm going to not give up on him because I want him to be good, and I want him to be, even average would get you to places.
Why doesn't Matt Nagy script out the entire series of plays for the whole game? Because, like, in the first 10 plays,
because there would be, then we'd run the ball zero times,
right?
We'd run the ball zero times.
He just passes the ball.
He's the fucking Andy Reid. Like, Andy Reid doesn't run the ball that much, but that's because he can get everyone open. Like, Matt Nagy doing the Andy Reid thing but not being as good as Andy Reid is not great.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
that sounds like a shitty position for your football team to be in. You know what, at least you have expectations, though. That's kind of nice. It's kind of nice to be let down by a
team.
If
we lose to the Chargers next week,
oh no.
Phil Rivers gets a win. Whatever. All right, let's do who's back. It's just stupid. Caring about sports is stupid. All right, Hank, who's back?
My who's back of the week is scumbag Yankee fans.
Okay. Oh,
so we'll talk about it with baseball. The Yankees aren't back. Their season's over. But
very much over.
In the course of the last two games, the first one at Yankee Stadium, there was a video of an Astros fan walking out. He got beer tossed on him and was just greeted with disgusting and despicable comments that no fan should have to hear at a game. And then there was a video last night after they lost of Yankees fans throwing a beer and, like, verbally assaulting an Astros fan in the bathroom.
Verbally assaulting?
While he was taking a pee.
A verbal assault?
Yes, he was trying to remove himself.
How did they verbally assault him?
They just threw words and hit him with very
They got
words.
Into a sentence fight.
Threw words at
like
him?
LeBron mm-hmm. James and Daryl Morey.
Damn. I'm all for it. I love scumbag Yankee fans. There's something about
the
them.
The sport's better when Yankees fans are, you know, they call it the Bronx cheer for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. And Hank, I don't know. No, you'd never see that kind of behavior out of New England fans.
No.
They wouldn't throw beer on Tyreek Hill or anything like that.
No.
Yeah. Agreed.
We've been there before, yeah.
Yep.
PFT. Now that we're set.
No.
Hold on. Before we do, here's back. Now that we're set. Astros, Nats.
Uh-huh. I'm afraid of the Astros. I was not afraid of, not afraid of the Yankees. Astros have been there before. I'm afraid of Bregman. I'm afraid of Jose Altuve. He's a great player. He's very Tariq Cohen-like.
Yep.
And I'm scared of their starting rotation as well.
Yes.
Although
Garrett Cole's about to shove.
He's going to shove.
I love saying
he's going to shove from
he's
the bump.
Shove. Scherzer's going to shove too. Scherzer, they're going to have a shove off.
Scherzer and Strasburg are going to twirl a gym.
Yeah.
I think our starting rotation, you could make the argument, is maybe better. It's deeper, but they're also our relievers. So
not with the way Garrett Cole's pitching.
They actually have a bullpen, which you might say is an advantage, but we've got the skin tangibles. So I'm feeling pretty good about the Nationals' chances. I'm a little bit afraid of the Astros if we can steal one.
I saw a stat. I might be making this up, but I'm pretty sure I'm not. If Fernando Rodney gets in a game in the World Series, he would have pitched for an AL and NL team in the World Series, both the ALCS, NLCS, and both the ALDS, NLDS.
Great pitcher.
That's pretty awesome.
What a great player he is.
Stick around long enough, and you can just stay and just keep pitching for every team ever.
Permission to be a loser?
Yeah.
I'm just excited to be in the World Series.
Oh,
I'm just
loser talk.
I'm just excited to be there.
Yikes. Well, bleep that out. That was bad.
I'm excited.
You don't want that loser
as a
talk.
Lifelong Nationals fan.
Don't do that.
I'm just excited to be there.
It sucks because we don't have any Astro fans that you can go back and forth with.
Chaps.
And J.J. Watt.
I'll
start a fight with J.J.
Yeah, so. And DeAndre Jordan.
There you go.
Yes.
And James Harden and Russell Westbrook, could not have cared less about the game.
Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook was on his phone in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
They didn't stand up when they hit the home
run. I wouldn't know any guy who would sit front row and be on their phone for the entire game and not care about the game, but just care about being on TV.
Nope. Especially not wearing those bright orange jerseys behind home plate. I'm going to keep talking if you keep talking.
All right, who's back?
My who's back of the week is the Jets.
Yes.
The Jets are back. They're playing against the Patriots tomorrow night. And
tonight.
Tonight. And Greeny put out a video of him and his son in the kitchen, and his son was just reading through the entire schedule coming up for the Jets. Greeny was rattling off wins left and right. Greeny thinks that the Jets are going to make the playoffs, despite Sam Darnold's mononucleosis.
Didn't he say they were done? Didn't he, like, cancel his Jets membership?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is, like, week two, though. Greeny, you have to understand this about Greeny. He overreacts to things. And I'd rather Greeny overreact than underreact, because Greeny's entire life is basically one giant underreaction, unless it's about the New York Jets.
Right.
In which case, he is the first to, like, stand on the ledge, and he's the first to stand at the front of the float. And that's why I love Mike Greenberg.
I think the Jets are going to be competitive tonight. I'll say it. You don't think so? Oh, wow. Cocky Hank in the building. I think Sam Darnold adds a little bit of their season's over, but when you have a guy come back from mono and play the way he did against the Cowboys, little pep in the step in the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I agree.
Everyone's feeling a little more well-rested.
But Greeny did mark this one down as a loss.
Oh.
So he's not totally delusional.
So what are they going to win out? What are they, 1-4, 1-5?
Basically, it's going to come down to the last game. Last game of the season against the Bills, according to Mike Greenberg.
Wow. Okay. A repeat of that awesome game week one, 17-16 or whatever the fuck it was. Okay. My who's back is fall weather. This weekend was like the perfect fall weather, and this is the time.
You can mark it on your calendar.
You can mark it on your calendar, but you know what I'm talking about. That first weekend where it's like, you just want to eat the day. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Like
pumpkin spice season.
Perfect. Yes.
Christian PSLs. Girl autumn.
Yes.
It was a perfect 60 degrees outside the other day.
I just want to go get a house in the woods, have a fire in my house, in the fireplace.
Yeah.
Walk around my yard, just crunch leaves.
Not
just
have
step
to watch
on crunchy leaves.
Wisconsin or the Bears play.
Nope. Wear a sweater. Wear like a wool sweater and drink 16 cups of coffee while I just stare at the trees. That's what I want.
Drink 16 cups of coffee, stare at the trees, shit yourself.
Yeah.
That actually sounds like a pretty good weekend.
It's pretty nice. But that's
a plot of Walden, isn't it?
Dude, when you can smell that fall weather. We were at Penn State, and it was like the perfect day. You know what I'm talking
about.
You could have
just been out of the city for a day, and that's what it was.
It was pretty nice here, too.
I'd like to cancel wind.
Wind?
I can deal with a little bit of briskness in the air, but once you throw wind, that's God farting on you. I hate wind, especially like through all the buildings when you turn a corner and you just you get your hat blown off.
I think you want to upset Big Wind, PFT.
You ever have your hat blown off?
Yeah.
Humiliating.
It's like you're in a cartoon.
It's like every it's like nature is doing the height thing to me. Where they're doing the Tariq Cohen, but they just blew my hat off. Then you have to go chase it down the street.
Or when it's going against a door, and the door, it's super hard to open, and you look like a weak little bitch, but it's really the wind.
Can't relate.
Damn. That was mean.
What do you mean?
I can't relate to that.
No, I'm saying, has that ever happened to you?
No.
Oh.
I don't fuck.
Me neither.
I bench.
I don't mess with wind. Like, I don't say bad things about the wind.
I hate wind.
Because the wind scares me.
I'm anti-wind.
And the wind is always bad for betting overs.
What's the... Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What's the... Name one good thing wind has ever done. Besides windmills. I was going to say besides... But the windmills kill all the birds.
What? Nice wind on a hot day.
A breeze. Now we're talking about a breeze.
I like the real wind. Oh, sailboat.
Okay, sailing
I don't do it.
Yeah, I'd rather be on a motorboat.
It looks cool.
I'd rather play fun water sports on a motorboat.
Sailboats look cool.
They do
look. Ultimate frisbee. Feeling like you can throw a football forever.
With the wind at your back.
Yes, kicking a field goal.
Wind assisted 9.5 yard dashes.
How about flying back from the West Coast and you do it in like 4 hours?
You catch the jet stream.
Yep, that's okay. Wind, buddy. Okay. That's wind.
That's one good thing
that's
wind
has
really
ever done.
That's
a really good thing
besides,
about wind.
Besides that, wind hasn't done shit.
Yeah, no, that's a really good thing about wind. Okay, let's do some segments before we do that.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, football guy of the week. Or no, PFT.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
MT.
I had a quick idea that I actually, when our Eagles colleague, our Eagle fan colleagues, Roan and Smitty were out there, and they were bemoaning the Eagles, and I was bemoaning the Bears, and we had the idea, we have a good defense, our quarterback's not great, you have a good quarterback, your defense stinks.
Let's combine the Bears' offense and the Eagles' defense and get the first draft pick.
And we can call it the Philadelphia Beagles.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, right? Uh-huh. That's a good name.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Beagles.
I was talking
it's
to Ron about
this
as well.
Cool
it's
just Beagle.
It's
Snoopy. Just
yeah.
Sleeping
it's
on
just
top
a cool
of his
ass
house.
Beagle,
yeah.
And he just dominates everyone.
The name is so good that I feel like we need to pitch this to Paul Rabil and have it become the lacrosse team name.
Ooh. Ooh. I mean, that is a great lacrosse name. That's a much better lacrosse name than it is a football name.
That is. Philadelphia Beagles.
Top cheddar.
Triggs, can you please make us a logo for the Philadelphia Beagles? I would like to start repping gear for the Philadelphia Beagles. Because we play in a couple weeks. So what if we just, it was actually just a scrimmage. Yeah, it was the mm-hmm. first scrimmage for how the game goes.
You just switch sides. You switch offenses and defenses.
Right, and then you can, well, what would be the reverse? So you, like you said, you know, you're joking, like we could tank for the first pick by doing the bad parts.
Yeah.
I want to win the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Beagles.
That's the Fuckago. Fuckago ears.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, the Fuckago ears.
And it's just a big dick in someone's ear.
Yeah, I like it.
Yep.
Perfect. Skull fuck.
So the Fuckago ears will be the Bears offense and the Eagles defense.
Yep.
And the Philadelphia Beagles will be the Eagles offense and the Bears defense.
I got the spread right now is Fuckago plus 22.5.
Fuckago ears, the Philadelphia. Someone just draw this up. Make a whole roster. Show me how good the teams would be. It'd be fucking sick. All right. Let's do our football guy of the week. First up, we have Nick Saban for telling his team that this is the time of year to get your piss hot, to quote an old locker room saying. That is an old locker room saying.
Get your piss hot.
I fucking love that saying.
That's what they said in Clemson last year.
What
does it mean?
You just got to get your piss hot.
Start
you get angry.
Start doing drugs. Yeah. Start doing PEDs.
Get your piss hot. Get your piss hot.
You ever measure the temperature of your own piss?
You got to get angry. You got to get going. Get your piss hot, man.
I didn't know like how you could physically make your piss hot.
Well, like PFT said, Clemson is
You just take a bunch of like supplements from your neighbor in the locker room,
right? But get your piss hot. Okay, next up we have Minnesota holder and four-time cancer survivor Casey O'Brien getting his first career hold in a blowout win over Rutgers. So have fun competing against that, everyone. Oh, next one. High school football coach Keenan Lowe for disarming a student with a gun in Portland, Oregon.
So one guy stopped a school shooter, and one guy has survived cancer.
Four times. You didn't forget the four times.
And also beat Rutgers.
Yes.
Which I think actually should – you should beat Rutgers.
By a lot. Update on Rutgers. Nunzio season not doing so well.
I looked at Nunzio. You know how many yards he threw for, or his quarterback threw for last week?
Yeah, it was one.
Again this week. 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, that's actually, now they're doing it on purpose.
Threw for 1 yard.
I think they're doing it on purpose, yeah. That's awesome.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, Nunzio's got a next level.
I almost feel bad for the award-winning listeners having to choose between the cancer survivor and the guy that stopped a potential school shooter.
Well, here's the fourth one, and I love this guy. It's a kid who called in a bomb threat. He's a University of Alabama
yeah,
student.
Yeah, that's my bet.
Called in a bomb threat to Tiger Stadium. That was last Saturday between LSU and Florida because his friend was on the verge of losing a very large bet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a football guy.
Yeah,
that's a football guy who's a degenerate gambler and knows that you just have to drastic times call for drastic memory.
If you think that a little bomb threat is going to stop people in Louisiana from a football game,
no.
My friend, you have another thing coming.
You should have threatened Mike the Tiger or a couple trees. Mm-hmm. Then they stop the football
game. Yes, exactly. They'll put on a manhunt for
people dying. Okay, mascots or trees.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have it.
Nope.
Yeah. All right. So vote for Football Guy of the Week on our Part of My Take Twitter account.
I may have been a little off on my Johnny Langan Rutgers stat because now I'm seeing one that says he threw for 48 yards. But I saw a tweet from Roger Sherman earlier this weekend saying that he threw for a yard.
Again?
Well, this is he did throw for a yard.
Last week.
But that it was 2 weeks in a row. That's what the tweet said. So maybe it was before the game was over. Maybe they're not taking into account
he was working on a yard.
Sack yardage, I'm not sure.
Interesting.
He did throw for a yard, but he also threw for 48 of them.
Yeah, so 47 more of them.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
47 times better than he was last week.
That's a little crazy.
That's improvement for Nunzio.
Nunzio, chill out, man. Air raid offense going at Rutgers. That program should just fold.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give the death penalty to a program for being so bad?
No, I don't think that you can.
Or just maybe go to the FCS.
Rutgers should just start cheating, like really badly, yes. And get caught intentionally.
Yes.
So that NCAA just kills them.
All right, since we're on college football, well, actually, let's do our last ad, and then we'll do this.
Our last ad is from a new sponsor. New sponsor alert, Lucy.
Hank, hit it.
New sponsor. That was a great fucking sound. Do that again, Hank. It's Lucy.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
There we go. All right. Let's do a little college football. So where do we want to start with college football? It's such a big weekend. We had two get hurt.
Yeah, let's start.
We had the Sooner schooner crash.
Mm-hmm.
We had Vanderbilt beat Missouri.
Who?
As a 21-point underdog.
Yeah. Boy.
Kansas almost beat Texas.
I got a question
for Army or Air Force
that
and Hawaii.
Unheard of upset.
Air uh-huh. Force Kansas and Hawaii had so many points out on the island.
Does it make it worse that it was a former Bears coach that beat you?
I have no problem with Lovey.
Yeah.
I like Lovey.
Lovey does look cool. Lovey's the only guy that looks younger by growing out that white beard. He looks like he's 30 years younger.
Lovey's firing from the Bears was a quintessential, like, it's probably time. Yeah. That was what it was.
Time, like, both sides
should move on. It was a 10-win team when he got fired.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know who the real losers are of this weekend?
Wisconsin, which we haven't said lost on Saturday.
Hank and PFT. Because Hank and PFT didn't get to witness it. Didn't get to witness my heartbreak,
uh-huh.
And you guys really lost out. Because you guys like to see me die, and you didn't get to see it.
I've seen you die so many times, though, it's like imprinted in my brain, so all I have to do is just I can reimagine it pretty easily.
You can. You got
my spank bank of Big Cat's death is like
that's so fucked up.
The Hank bank. I love it. Yeah. No. I wish I could have been there to support you, not to make fun of you, to support you, and to log some more hours in my spank bank of Big Cat wanting to die. It was tough. The way that it happened was
shocking.
Tough. Yeah. Very
I'm
shocking.
Actually at peace with it. Can
Are
I tell you?
Yeah.
You? Here's why.
Do you
here's
remember
why.
What you said on these airwaves? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
We could go
no,
today.
No, I know. And that's
you were scared.
That, no, that's why I'm at peace with it. My relationship with the University of Wisconsin Athletics is a relationship where I know what they're going to do before they do it. And at some point, when you have a relationship that's so deep seated, you get stale. So I knew they were going to lose in a heartbreaking fashion this year. I knew my heart was going to get ripped out of my chest. I always know what's happening or going to happen. I didn't know it was going to be this weekend.
Yeah.
So I appreciate them keeping it fresh. It was like coming home and being like, hey, honey, let's try a new position. Let's lose this 31-point favorites in a fucking horrific fashion.
She just pulls
to
out
Illinois.
A strap on.
Yeah. And it's like, fuck, why not?
All right.
You've been married for, you know, 20 years. What the fuck?
You've been
let's
over this
do
time.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you're falling for it right now, because if you had to pick a game to lose to still be in the national championship conversation, this is probably the one because
still control
because
our own
destiny. you can still beat Minnesota, you can still beat Ohio State
twice,
and then you can have your heart ripped out from you in excruciating fashion, which I will make sure come hell or high water I
no,
am there for.
This is already this is it. This season is that's the other part of why I'm at peace because once it happens, I no longer have to go through it again. Once they rip my heart out, that's why when the real true
no,
like
they're just
terrible seasons
it.
Are when they wait till the absolute end. This is almost a relief. Like, even last year when they lost to BYU, last year's team was terrible. They lost to BYU, which they shouldn't, was 24-point favorites or whatever it was. That happened so early in the year that I was like, fuck it. We've already done this. Like, we're good. It's happened.
I can tell behind
can
that smile,
chill.
You're terrified
no, I'm
of
being
having
honest.
It happen twice.
We're
going
to lose to
year.
Ohio State. We'll probably play Ohio State pretty close because why not? You know what I mean? Like, we'll lose by 7 or 10. Just so that everyone could say, ooh, they actually aren't that bad. Mm-hmm. Really, really sucks they lost. It's 31-point favorites to Illinois. But, yeah, I'm at peace. It feels good. But the relationship has been renewed. Wisconsin has broken my heart in a new fashion. I always know Northwestern's coming. I always know, you know, going to Evanston. I always know Iowa's lurking. Minnesota last year was a new one because we hadn't lost them in 15 years. The Illinois one I didn't see coming, and I respect the hell out of it.
You will never see somebody root harder for Wisconsin than when they play against Ohio State than I will.
Yeah.
And then you will never see somebody.
You don't respect scumbags who cover up domestic assault.
That's true. Yeah, that's why. That's why I'm going to root for them and not because.
And you don't go to China.
I can't wait to see them get their asses kicked by Oklahoma in the semifinals.
No, we'll probably lose. If we beat Ohio State, we'll lose to Minnesota. That's how it will go.
Okay.
So that's the calculation.
The give and take?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, it was shocking. It was shocking, but I'm happy to be done with it. I feel it's like almost going to like jail. Like I did my sentence.
You're
I'm
done.
Good. I'm
You're
done.
Out. You're out on
man.
Wisconsin football.
I'm a free man. I can just enjoy their like.
It's actually a good thing.
Above they're mediocre plus. They're extra mediocre. Like they're above average, but not ever going to be good enough to be great.
Probably Rose Bowl.
I would love to go to the Rose Bowl. Yeah. Rose Bowl is the fucking greatest place in the world to watch a football game. Some of my best memories are from there and lost. And guess what? Wisconsin lost both those games, too.
Listen, I think Paul Chryst is the same guy that he's going to be able to get the team back on track and
dude,
get them back
he
into the
doing at the end of the game. Like, you're trying to bleed the clock, and he was just snapping the ball and just, oh.
Why were they doing that? He wanted to play more football?
He lost his brain.
He loves football
I
so much.
I don't know.
Trying to get extra snaps in?
Yeah. The air was so beautiful. It was such a nice fall day. So yeah, that's our college football. Tua did get hurt, though. That's a big thing.
Yeah, that actually kind of sucks. So he had surgery on his ankle, right?
He did last year.
But he didn't already have another surgery on it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so
I mean, if he did, then that's
medically
very
speaking,
severe. I don't think so.
His ankle is fucked.
Right.
So he might be out at LSU, which would be kind of nice.
Ooh.
Which would
be kind of
nice.
Really
I'm
nice.
Looking up. He has a high ankle sprain.
Yes.
Or, as Chris Long calls it, an ankle sprain.
Mm-hmm.
That joke never gets old.
That is good. When do they play LSU? November 9th?
2 weeks from now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So he might be out then. But then their quarterback, their new quarterback's name is Mac, right?
Yeah. Tua's brother is the third string, I think.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure, which is awesome. Also, shout out Dana Holgorsen putting his son in for Houston. I love that move. Yeah, Taulia Tagovailoa.
Now, is that just a guy that they recruited to make sure that they get Tua?
Taulia Tagovailoa, brother of Tua, commits to Alabama over Tennessee. This is an article from 2018. So I think he is the third string.
Mac Jones is their backup right now. Mac Jones is a great backup quarterback.
Yeah, that's not a good. That's not a Alabama quarterback name.
But
though.
Mac Jones,
that's a fullback name.
It's a cool backup name.
Yeah, but that give me the other Tagovailoa. I can't say
Tagovailoa.
Yeah, give me that guy.
How about Alabama's light show turning football into a rave?
Why is everyone doing that now? That's everyone though. Because Georgia did it.
Yeah.
Broncos did it on Thursday night.
Yep.
I don't like it.
I think in the SEC, it's just a signal to all your underclassmen that are in the stands. Now's the time to hit your flask.
Yeah.
When the lights turn out real quick.
Now's your time.
Which I appreciate that.
Yeah, all the recruits. Now's your time to jingle the new car keys you have of your sweet, you know, Lexus.
Now's the time where the handshakes are exchanged with a couple thousand dollars worth of hundreds folded up in them.
All right. Let's finish up. We got a couple more topics here, segments here. You have a NyQuil idea.
I do, yeah. So I've been sick. I've been fighting something off.
Wait, let me do it. Let me do
podcasting
it this way.
Through it.
Let me do it this way. SeatGeek question.
Yeah.
Promo code TAKE. $10 off. Go to LSU Alabama. SeatGeek. Promo code TAKE. We love SeatGeek. They always get us, hook us up when we go to game. You might get hooked up on Friday night. SeatGeek.
I think I'm going to be down in DC for Worlds. I'm just going to be happy to be there.
Promo code TAKE. $10 off. What is your NyQuil idea?
I had a NyQuil idea. I just woke up in the middle of the night last night with this idea stuck in my brain. I don't know how it got there. But it's an idea for like a athletic center or like just a gym. It's a gym that you can get a subscription to called the Gymoji, where all the kettlebells are like emoji faces, and it's for influencers.
Hmm.
And the weights are labeled with the amount of hundreds that are on them, with the red hundreds.
Okay. I don't hate that.
Yeah.
What about the windows or the mirrors having cameras in them?
What is the NyQuil idea?
Yeah, NyQuil idea.
Oh, he took too much NyQuil.
Got it.
I drank NyQuil, and then in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I was like, Gymoji.
You robo-tripped.
That's perfect.
You ever trip on Robitussin?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, me neither.
Not tripped on Robitussin.
Yeah, neither have I.
Good.
Right. I like this idea,
though. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where else to go with it besides you target influencers. You get people. You have to have – here's what you do. You say you have to have – over 100,000 followers to get a membership there, but then you let everybody in that applies, and then they feel like they have over 100,000 if they're there, and then it just becomes a big thing of the people that don't have, that aren't influencers yet, networking with the actual influencers at the gym.
I like that.
So it's for the little man.
You should be able to let the dog accounts in too.
Okay.
That works.
Done. Have a little agility course for them.
Yeah, right. I like this. Maybe a little We could have an area where they can have their super healthy meal they're eating, and they don't actually have to eat it. They just take a picture,
yeah,
and then just move on.
They airdrop you the picture that they just took of your meal that you didn't eat.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they give you like some fries.
This is it. This is the Gymoji. Yeah.
Okay. That's done.
Okay.
Probably can only open one in New York and San Francisco and maybe L.A.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a gym for
Miami.
Yeah. Like, I don't think this is a gym for Toledo, Ohio.
Probably not. But, yeah, or you can just say, like, it's New York, Miami, L.A., San Francisco, but then open it everywhere, like L.A. Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
People go there, and they're like, oh, I feel like
I live in the L.A. life.
Yeah, exactly.
This is nice.
Put a plane emoji in your bio. When you walk in the door, you put a plane emoji. And when you check in, it puts a plane emoji, and it tweets it out for you, and it says, NYC plane Gymoji.
Yeah. And then it says, like, instead of... You know, when you go to a weight room in college, a football program, and they have all the motivational stuff, it's just Instagram captions. So it's like, if you can't handle me at my Manhattan Beach, you don't deserve me at my Soho.
I like that.
Like, I'm bi-coastal, baby.
Yeah. This is the live, laugh, love steam room.
Right. Yeah, right.
I like that.
Like, yeah. Okay.
That's hot.
You in for it, Hank?
Mm-hmm.
Gymoji? Do you think you have enough? You have a K, right?
Mm-hmm. And a check mark.
You got the clout?
Not a big deal.
Yeah. Sliding
Henry Lockwood
one. Who have you been sliding in?
No one.
Yeah.
I don't slide.
You get slid on?
Not even.
Let me see your DMs.
Yeah. Read your last three DMs out loud. This will be good.
Same old, how are you? I'm sorry if I'm bothering you. I couldn't tell you why I do it either. This is the only group I do it to. That was from Yev from the Dixie Tour. My buddy David Cox replied to one of my stories and said, legend.
So, were you being a legend?
Not really, but I appreciate that. And then Die's Life, shout out to Die's Life Instagram, Beer Die Instagram account. They're going to send me some merch. So follow them, and shout out to them for sending me the merch.
Love it. Fire. Die's Life.
Yep.
This Badger fan texted me and said, hey, Big Cat, can you shoot me in the fucking face? I'm suicidal. That's bad.
That was your last
I think he was
DM?
Just talking about the game, though, so it's not bad. It's okay, you know? It's cool.
My last DM, thank you, Marlins, man. She had a great time. No, no, no. It's not what that was.
Oh, fuck. A lot of Ravens fans saying we're not frauds anymore. Still mm-hmm. frauds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, you mm-hmm. guys aren't. I said that. All right, let's wrap up. Hank, this is your segment, Blame and Shame Media. Tom Brady's under attack.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
He's not.
He is.
He's so much under attack, he came up with the Blame and Shame Media.
He was under attack on Friday.
Yeah. For Friday night, there was a video that came out. There's he's in siege. Paul Rudd's new show, and there's a scene. Big Cat, you watch it. You can probably explain
it. I have no
it
idea what you're talking about.
No?
It looked bad, the scene. So, I watched it. It's the dumbest controversy of all time.
Because I didn't watch it, and I saw the video. I was like, oh, this is weird. But I from what I've been told, anyone that watches the
Have episode, you watched it yet?
I have not watched it, but I've read the synopsis of it.
I texted you?
That, and I also I fact-checked it. Okay. So I can confirm.
You didn't trust my synopsis?
Somehow, the most in-context thing of all time that looked like Tom Brady making fun of Bob Kraft was actually out of context.
Correct.
Which is amazing to me. Like, if you just watched it, you're like, how can this be anything other than what my eyes just saw? My eyes lied to me.
Well, the problem I have with this is the person who tweeted it.
Well, in the video, too, it's Tom Brady walking out of a
spa. All right, so we'll back up. Tom Brady's walking out of a spa.
In the show.
Paul Rudd's like, oh, you've been here? He's like, yeah, six times. Someone tweeted it and was like, I cannot believe this. Clearly being like, Tom Brady's making fun of Bob Kraft. If you watch the show, you didn't even make that connection because the joke is so clearly about Tom Brady. So I hate the person who tweeted this.
It's the producer of Felger and Maz, who's like the troll radio station. So that's all on brand for them.
Okay, so then I don't hate him because he was doing it on purpose. Because I thought maybe it was someone who was doing it actually saying...
He knew what he was doing.
Okay, so I don't... I no longer hate him. Retract.
Okay.
The thing is, I hate everyone who bought it and fell for it and looked stupid.
Me. I feel stupid this morning.
Feel like you're part of the Blame and Shame
Saturday
media.
Morning, I had a BNS on my heart because I was like, I'm part of the big problem out here because Tom Brady, somebody asked him a question about it at his locker.
Blame and Shame media.
And he looked like he was going to cry.
Yeah, he did.
I've never seen Tom Brady look like that. And all I have to say about that is I'm betting heavily on the Patriots tonight.
Well, it's like, the guy, like, he likes being acting. He likes... outside of his NFL career, like doing some thespian work, and he does it. And when all he does is get critical reception, like no one likes that. Who wants that as an actor?
Oh, you thought he was too good in the role, and people were jealous.
He was upset that he put all his time into his role, and no one was focusing on the role that the performance that he gave, but instead on the context, which was not relative to the performance.
Do you think that Bob Kraft saw the clip and his heart broke a little bit?
No, he came.
He nutted.
He's like, ooh. Spa.
He probably saw that and was like, Tom, I'm glad that you're able to make a joke about it. Let's go together sometime.
No, that's also one of them. That's like a Twitter.
I've been meaning to invite you.
Yeah.
That's also, it was a Twitter bubble thing where I'm sure like
of
it
course.
Didn't really reach,
no one saw
reach
it.
Robert
right.
Kraft.
Right. It's just crazy because when I watched the show and I didn't even think twice about it because it's in context. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I went back to Jim Murray's original tweet. Smart tweet. He just put the thinking emojis.
Oh, that is smart. So credit to him. He got the whole internet. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tip my cap. That's a smart move. All right, that's our show. Joe Buck on Wednesday.
Let's go.
Big guests coming up. Big guests mm-hmm. the next few days.
I'm pretty excited because the next time you'll hear me, I will be celebrating a Game 1 Nationals
Erroneous.
World Series victory.
Wrong. Gerrit Cole's going to shove. I already told you
he's
that.
He's going to shove, but
Scherzer's
going to
twirl. Gonna shove more.
He's going to twirl.
Nope. Shove.
You don't know what you're talking
he's
about.
He's going
to
shove.
You know, I'm just happy to be here. Love you guys.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.